Hello, and this is the third edition of Not the Wikipedia Weekly. We've got this little virtual Skype cast room, and in a moment I'll introduce you. I'm Private Musings, and I'll just get everyone here to say hello in a mo. But before I do, I wanted to say that I checked the tool that allows us to monitor the page views of Wikipedia Weekly. And I saw that there's about 1,400 page views here, so I'm very pleased that some people are listening. I can only be responsible for about 1,000 of them myself, I'm sure. So good to see that they're out there. In the room today, we've got Majorly.
Hello.
And we've got Daroba.
Hello.
And we have Zaginda.
Hello.
And we've got Raoul654.
Hello.
And perhaps most excitingly of all, which we're going to kick off with today, we've got our executive director of the Wikimedia Foundation, Sue Gardner.
Hiya.
And Sue, did I get that right? That's your correct name, isn't it? The executive director.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, I thought we'd kick off by, Raoul, you were saying that you'd noticed some stuff online that you thought would be best to address, and then, you know, if only just to kick to the curb, so to speak. So over to Raoul for the first bit.
Okay. There was an article in Valleywag I noticed as of, what, today or yesterday? As of today at 6 o'clock a.m., saying that Sue and Jimbo had a previous relationship that, let me see if I can read it verbatim. A Valleywag commentator has held back, writes, "Media whore meow. I hear this chick had an interesting job interview with Jimbo in Amsterdam." That's one way of putting it. More precisely, Wikimedia Foundation employees say they witnessed Gardner and Wales making out last June in Amsterdam, shortly before she was hired as a consultant to the Wikipedia nonprofit. At least one had a camera phone. They haven't gotten any pictures yet. Surely they must be circulating. Anyone care to send them in?
Oh, dear.
You know that geekdom life has hit the big time when they actually have that kind of stuff published about us. Wow.
I actually asked you, to be fair, Mark, I asked you to bring that up because I thought it was probably just as good to bring it up and then dispel it. This is Sue, by the way. And I guess before this morning, I used to think that Valleywag was written for, you know, 11-year-old boys, and I guess after having read that, I now think that Valleywag, it would be unfair, it would be a disservice to 11-year-old boys to say that they're the target audience for it. You know, I mean,
Clear, you're absolutely no truth.
Yeah, there's no truth to it. I said it on ComCom, and I know, I just want to make it really clear to people, because there's no truth to it, I'm completely denying it, it's ludicrous. Jimmy also says it's ludicrous, it's just nuts.
All right.
And Raoul, were you in Amsterdam?
No.
Oh, so we can't get a Raoul and Sue sort of rumor into Valleywags by hook or by crook.
Sure, we could. Valleywag would take anything.
Well, I've never met Jimbo, so don't say anything about me.
Well, with that one,
Daroba. When we moved to the Bay Area, a friend of mine who does PR for a lot of startup firms told me, she said, be really careful that you don't get into Valleywag, because she said they have a problem with women. And I have to say, I mean, that's been my experience with them, just reading it. It's gossipy, and it's rumors and nonsense. But really, I think I have yet to read an article about a woman in Valleywag that doesn't focus on her sex life. It's just kind of pathetic.
And I guess that's, we can move on from Valleywag there now to... I wanted to ask you, Sue.
One more thing while we're on the subject, if you don't mind my asking. Danny had also made some accusations, and the foundation had also more or less said there was absolutely no truth to that. Do you just want to, you know, kind of expand on that, like reiterate it?
Sure, yeah. Do you want to spend a couple of minutes on that? Because I'm fine to do that.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated to hear what has to be said. Since it's kind of a he said, she said, it's always interesting to hear people, or at least at this point, you know, that's what has been circulating.
Sure. So here's what I would say about that, and I'll probably talk for a couple of minutes, so just interrupt me if you want to. The reason I agreed to come on this podcast, I mean, I would have anyway, obviously, I would come on and talk, but the particular reason that I was willing to come on and talk this week was because of something Durova said last week. So Durova said that she still had some questions about what had happened, and she was hoping to get some answers. And I thought about that, you know, and our feeling thus far at the foundation level has been that we don't want to get down in the mud with people, right? Because, you know, as is proven by the Valleywag thing, people can make up anything that they want, right? I don't think it makes sense for the staff to spend a lot of time and a lot of energy on kind of rebutting allegations, especially where they're maybe not terribly clear or they're insinuations or they're unsupported or whatever, right? Because I really do think that, you know, the foundation is a huge and really well-known organization. More to the point, Wikipedia is huge and really well-known. And so we could spend our whole lives defending ourselves against whatever if that's how we chose to spend our time. But on the other hand, you know, I took what Durova said to heart, right? I thought if people do have concerns and they have questions and just one flat-out denial isn't enough to answer the questions that they've got, then I owe it to them, and I think it's fair to be accountable and to talk about stuff a little bit more. So I'm going to do that for a second. So basically, you know, my experience of this has been, it has been quite frustrating for me. You know, my job is to ensure that the foundation is financially sustainable and that it's operationally sustainable, that the lights stay on, we get the bills paid and all that kind of thing, so that it can continue to support the projects, which are really, really important in doing good things in the world, right? So what Danny has said in his blog has taken up quite a bit of my time in the last couple of weeks, because I did have to do an investigation. I did have to make some kind of assessment of, was there any truth to what he was saying. It wasn't easy for me to do that because I wasn't here in 2005. So I had to talk to a variety of people. I had to look at records. I had to do a bunch of stuff. And I have done that. And I don't have any evidence to support the idea that Jimmy behaved improperly in any kind of way. I have to say it's hard because it's really difficult to prove that something did not happen, right?
Is it possible without going into,
sure,
you know, without breaking confidence, I think, could you say who you were able to talk to or?
Yeah, I talked to Brad Patrick and I talked to some of the other staff who were around at the time, people who were involved with the projects and so forth. Most of my time I spent talking to Brad. Brad's my counterpart, right? He was the executive director at the time. So he's where the buck stops, so I spoke with him. So the upshot to me,
now,
you know...
Danny made a specific claim that Jimbo's credit card had been taken away because of excessive spending or personal spending. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, that's not true. To the best of my ability to reconstruct what happens, nobody but Danny is suggesting that that actually happened. You know? So let me talk for a second about an area of it that I know myself because I was there, so I can speak comfortably to this. So, for example, and again, you know, I say this at the risk of getting down in the mud, so I want to be, you know, a little bit sort of cognizant of that. But there was a later post where Danny talked about Eric and Elevation and Jimmy and me, and he sort of made a number of allegations there. So I can say a bunch of stuff with, you know, total confidence about that. Danny said that there was some kind of secret meeting between me and Roger McNamee. That's not true. The meeting was not a secret. It was completely known to everybody. There was no reason for it to be a secret. He said that I came back from San Francisco the same day of the meeting. I didn't come back the same day of the meeting. He said in that same post that Alita had complained about Jimmy. Alita's the bookkeeper, right, the accountant in St. Petersburg. He said that Alita had made some kind of complaint about Jimmy and that Jimmy had asked for her to be fired. That's ridiculous. It's just not true. And there was a whole piece of information in there, a number of allegations about Eric and Eric's visa, and all of that was completely untrue as well. So, you know, I was a journalist for a long time. I've been a manager for quite a long time. My job is to assess these kinds of claims. I've done it before. I've investigated whistleblowing allegations. I don't see any reason to attach any credence to any of this. You know, it would be different, and the reason I take it seriously is because if Danny was indeed bringing up serious problems that need to be addressed by the organization, that would be a service to the organization. That's what whistleblowing is. And serious whistleblowing needs to be investigated, it needs to be welcomed, it needs to be embraced and looked into. But this isn't serious whistleblowing. So what I want to do, if you don't mind, is I want to go on for a second and just talk a little bit about the impact of it, okay?
Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, but jump in, you know, if you want, just jump in.
No, this is fascinating. I'm very interested to hear this.
Yes, and I'm very grateful that you came. I'm actually, I don't know, flattered, I guess, that you named me particularly. But thank you very much. I want to hear.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. Seriously, because, I mean, I take the community seriously, right? You are the people who make the projects. You are the people who do the work and make this thing possible. So I do want to be responsive, but at the same time, I have two concerns, right? One is the time and energy of the staff. You know, we're like 14 people. I have spent most of today talking to various media. That's okay. I don't mind it. But it means that it's time that I'm not spending doing other things that actually need to get done, right? But the second reason that I find it kind of irritating is because, you know, like I said at the beginning, my job is to make sure that the foundation is okay and that it has the money it needs to pay the bandwidth bill and all of that. And there is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that these allegations have adversely affected people's willingness to donate to the Wikimedia Foundation. And that's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Eric and I are actively engaged, we have been for a couple of months, in soliciting major donations. We've been visiting people around the valley asking them for money, right? These are long-term conversations. They take months to develop. They take months to play out. We're not asking. It's unrestricted donations, right? We're just asking people, you know, we think the projects are amazing. Please help us. And, you know, a surprising number of people will do that. It's a fabulous thing. As an outcome of Danny's blog postings, I will not be surprised if someone who had been leaning towards saying, yeah, sure, I will help you, is now leaning towards saying, you know, I've got better things to do with my money, right?
I think that's probably true, isn't it? It's unlikely to have a good effect, and it's quite likely to have an effect on the donations. And I was going to ask you something about that in a while. I just thought when we had Danny on and we were chatting away, and it's good to hear what you're saying about community. I've in talking with various people, Danny, of course, was as well as being the employee and the ex-employee rather.
Yeah.
He's been around the community quite a long time, and I think there is support for Danny personally, sort of out there. What I took from our conversation, which you probably listened, you know, the previous one,
yep.
The one sort of very specific thing that Danny seems to be stuck on, if you like, or persistent with, is the assertion that Jimbo had. I think Danny feels that Jimbo knew that he'd done something wrong because Danny asserts that Jimbo wrote the foundation a check.
Right. I really don't want to get into that, you know, and it's not because there's anything untoward in it. It's just a really long and complicated thing, and I wasn't there, and I have a hard time fully reconstructing it, you know.
No doubt, yeah, no doubt.
What I can tell you is what I said before, right? Like, Jimmy didn't do anything problematic in any way with the foundation's money. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the upshot of it. He didn't try to do anything untoward, and he didn't do anything untoward. You know, and what I have to say about all this is that, like, you know, I can't see. I'm not going to try and speculate about why Danny is having the conversations that he's having and why he's doing this. I don't know why. But
I've got to say, I've only known Danny for about, you know, a fortnight or so, or a few weeks, and my impression was that whether it's successful or not, I got a distinct impression of good intentions, but that was just me.